Right now, it is time to bring in Brian Ross. It's time for Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning, and we take a look at the news stories that are out there. And to me, Brian, the picture of the day, I didn't stay up for the State of the Union address, but this morning to see the President of the United States, and behind him, a woman, two powerful women, the Vice President of the United States and the Leader of the Congress. That was a picture that will go down in the history books.
Two powerful women, both from California. It reminds you of the Beach Boys song. But yes, it was a remarkable scene. Also, you can see the President as he came in, fist bumping with Liz Cheney. And then he gave a speech that was remarkable for its ambition in terms of the push by Mr. Biden to essentially expand the role of government with huge spending and a rather narrow majority in both the House and the Senate, yet he is off to the races with quite the ambitious program.
Well, you know, I did not see the speech, but my meteorologist pointed out, Pat Pagano pointed out something that he didn't necessarily listen to the exact content and details. But it was nice to get back to a State of the Union that even yielded back to when George Bush and Barack Obama and the original Bush, the more presidential way of giving a State of the Union address, really to pump up the country.
Absolutely. Don't quit on America. America doesn't quit, was the theme there. And in that, I wouldn't call it boring, but very, a personal kind of eloquent way he delivered his remarks. It seemed, as you say, normal. But behind that, was not normal, was the aspects, you know, the individual details of the program he's proposing, which Republicans jumped on hard afterwards, you know, saying that the Democrats are now want to be more involved. The government wants to be involved in your life from cradle to college.
Yeah, it. Like I said, I did not. Unfortunately, I did not stay up for it because it's just one of those things that's not quite possible for me to do. But from all, it's a return to normalcy, and it brings us as a country a three-quarter cycle because the other big story of the day. Was the raid on Rudolph Giuliani's home and offices where they took all his phones, all his cell phones, all his laptops. They even raided the lawyer that worked with him, but they made a point to say the raid wasn't against her. They were looking, it was related to Rudolph Giuliani, any conversation she might have had with Giuliani.
Well, there's no doubt there's a huge target on his back from the federal government. And the fact that it's the federal investigation, not a state investigation, was brought out, I think, clearly with the information the New York Times provided that a raid that had been requested earlier during the Trump administration was blocked by the Department of Justice. Now with a new Department of Justice, a new Attorney General, the Giuliani investigation is at full steam.
So that this is just the beginning of these. I mean, you know that there's more coming down the road for.
Yeah, and probably midway. It sounds like it's got a good full head of steam already. And the fact that they're going specifically for his electronic devices, looking for text messages and phone calls, suggests he is really a tight focus. And going back to his role on behalf of the government of Ukraine, whether he was essentially lobbying on behalf of Ukraine without registering something called the Foreign Registration Agents Act, where he'd have to have registered as a foreign agent of Ukraine, which he did not. And so that's what they're looking for. That's the specific piece of the law they're looking to see whether he violated.
And the other side of the coin in the United States, of course, the three men that were charged in the plot to kidnap the Michigan governor now are facing charges of having weapons of mass destruction.
Yes, well, they're piling on charges there, and I think you can expect more charges against the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, the two extremist right-wing groups that were involved in the Capitol assault, the insurrection. So this Justice Department is really, you know, it's good to see. There's no I don't know if I say there's no politics at play, but clearly they're going after those targets. The people in Michigan, the people who led the insurrection, are all under full federal investigation. So in the days and weeks to come, I think we're going to see some serious new charges brought against the people, and sort of a superseding indictment. This is what happened in Michigan involving those involved in the Capitol insurrection.
And I guess the other story that we should talk about was the Republican response by Tim Scott to Joe Biden. Just reading up on it here, he says that pulling us further and further into the Great Divide. But how can you be pulled any further into the Great Divide than what we've had in the last 4 years?
That's the ironic part of his speech. The Republicans are now back to what they have always sort of been the major theme of smaller government, attacking the Democrats as tax and spend Democrats. So those are sort of traditional party lines that we have heard from both sides. And to the extent that you say we're back to normal, that's kind of the normal political divide. I think the problem for the Republicans is that the proposals put forward by the president last night and part of his administration's agenda are issues that most Americans, according to the polls, are in favor of. They don't have the strong opposition in the polls, and Republican senators and congressmen, as women, as they go home to their districts, are learning that lots of things that Biden is proposing are very popular. Universal pre-K, community college free for the first 2 years. Those are things that are winning subjects for the Democrat Party and for the Biden administration.
And what people also are realizing, and it's a slow realization, it's never going to happen on the Republican side fully, but people are realizing that in tough times, every once in a while, like when we had the big crisis when Barack Obama took over with the failing of the banks and everything like that, over the course of time, wealthy Americans, big businesses do get breaks to help spur the economy on. And now what I think we're finally seeing is American people realize, okay, so if in those tough times, big businesses, hedge funds, Wall Street, very wealthy people can get breaks to help supposedly trickle down and spur the economy, then it should be on the shoe should be on the other foot when it's time to help people that need the help. Where's it going to come from? It's got to come from those big companies, those wealthy people, those wealthy investors on Wall Street. They have to give up some of the gains they made, still keeping themselves well ensconced. But it's a delicate balance, and I think more and more Americans are realizing that that's exactly what's the balancing act that's going on here.
Well, when there are 50, 55 companies that have paid no tax at all for years, when millionaires get their effective tax rate down lower than the secretaries who work for them, those are issues that resonate, I think, with most Americans, that that's just not right. Something about that should be fixed. And those are good talking points for the Democrats. The best Republicans can argue is that you don't want government involved in your life, and it's not clear that's a winning argument. Certainly, Mr. Biden's speech last night put forward a more, active, proactive role of the government in American life. And that'll be the debate that goes forward. That's the best the Republicans can argue. And the fact is that many Americans, at least according to the opinion polls, welcome many of the proposals. Enhanced tax credits, more money for people with children, to end child poverty, to end hunger in this country. Those are pretty good issues.
It's interesting what Scott also said yesterday from what I was looking at clips this morning, basically trying to give, saying that Donald Trump was responsible for this, that, and the other with the vaccinations. And what I think has been good about this administration is no one has criticized the fact that under the Trump administration, the vaccines, the orders to go out, warp speed and create these vaccines were done. But when you come right down to it and you look what's going on in India and in other portions of the world, all of a sudden you see how important the decisions that the Biden administration has made since they took over in vaccinations, and you look at this country and the path we're on, you can see a huge difference in the way this pandemic was held.
Well, certainly the efficiency and the fact that we seem to have professionals in charge of the distribution, with states now knowing exactly what they can expect, how the vaccines are being distributed, it's being managed in a much better way. I do think, and I was surprised that President Biden last night did not give at least a nod to the previous administration for pushing so hard and getting in record time a number of vaccines that have proved to be very effective against COVID-19. I think he could have done that and not lost anything and probably gained something, but chose not to. But as he has said and everyone has acknowledged, he'll be judged in the end about how well he does in getting us past the pandemic and restoring the economy. And to that extent so far, he's getting pretty good marks.
And now for people in the United States to look at India, where yesterday almost 400,000 people were new infections.
Yeah.
We were there once, and we're not there now. But what people have to realize, and Brian, you've been all over the world, you've covered news stories all over the world, we just can't be concerned in this country on the way we react to the virus and how we try to protect from the virus. As a world leader, once again, America looks like it's going to step back into the worldview and help India and help other countries.
Absolutely. And the fact is, you know, we're not safe until everybody is safe, and so the pandemic is wiped out. It's global. That's why they call it a pandemic. And we have to do even more, I think, in terms of making sure that we share the wealth in terms of vaccine and the raw materials that are needed to get everyone. And which puts into sharp, I think, light the notion that there are still so many Americans among evangelicals, Republican men, who refuse to get a vaccine. It's astounding to me. Even for their own health, their own safety, their own family's health, they're still refusing in pretty good numbers to take the vaccine.
And before I let you go, because you're on the board of the Hotchkiss Library, you have a couple of great programs coming up. First of all, on May 2nd, Road to Patton, how the movie Patton has so many different connections to Sharon, Connecticut. And then Lori Lyle is going to be, I think, the next presentation that the library has coming
up. Right, and she's great. You know, she was on the library board previously. She's terrific and still very, very active in all of affairs with the library. We are very, very active, a lot going on. And as you know, we're getting close to, at some points, putting a little addition on the back of the building there.
It's about time, and I just think we're blessed not only here with the Hotchkiss Library, but all our libraries throughout the tri-state region have really stepped in to fill the void with all these Zoom events.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's the staff at the library, led by Gretchen Hochmeister and Holly Nelson and others there, have done an amazing job to keep the building going, to get people in and out of the library, to make sure books are available, and as well the digital connections you can get by having a library card. There's a lot to take advantage of if you have a library card. They are free, and our services are free. And we're still open 7 days a week. So I'm very, very proud. The board's very, very proud of all that's being done by our staff there. They're really great.
You know, I have to ask you this as a final question. As someone who when I did the interview with Jürgen yesterday, I mentioned that even as a teenager, I just thought the movie Patton was one of the best biographies or autobiographies I've seen in a long time on an American general. And I got a couple of my progressive friends who said, well, you like movies about war? And I think the movie wasn't necessarily about war. It was about the men. I mean, am I wrong, or was that to me a substantial movie that shows something in American history about one of our generals?
Well, it certainly is part of American history, and it was about this man who, you know, was a zealot too, but that's what it took to win. So there's, you know, it's one of the more fascinating movies, and because it didn't focus so much on the fighting, but on the sort of the battles in his own head that were so fascinating, I thought.
All right, Brian, always great to talk to you. We'll speak to you next week.
Okay, Marshall.
Take care.
Nice to be here.
Brian Ross, Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find Brian, of course, online with us at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand, click on Real News with Brian Ross. That's where all the shows are archived.